In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up. That by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So happy to have you here with us. Just extending out love and just warmest wishes to you. We just love our listeners here at The Spark, and your subscribing means the world to us. So we can continue to bring you wonderful content, truly with the best in international thought leaders, change makers, people that are really making a difference to help you make that difference in your life and ignite your best life. So I'm super excited today. I have with me Beverly Beal, and she is a feng shui consultant and advisor. She is also an intuitive coach, and I am so thrilled to connect with her and get to talk with her today. And I just know what we're talking about is really going to serve you. So Beverly, welcome so much to the show.
Welcome. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate this.
Well, so this is really interesting to me. I mean, I love feng shui. I know I don't do it to the extent that I'm sure that you can help really people bring that energy into their homes. And yet it's something that is so fascinating. For people that don't know what feng shui is, can you help explain what it is and how did you get started in all this?
Absolutely. So feng shui is a Chinese philosophy that it began somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 years ago. And it started out as a service to the emperors to make sure that they had the best locations for their homes, their palaces, their burial grounds. And it was a way of assessing how the energy was flowing and how the land masses were either supportive or detrimental to, you know, again, the emperor achieving their goals. And feng shui translates to wind and water. It's how energy moves in a tangible way, like the water flowing in a stream, or the intangible way, which is the wind. And you can, we always can see the effects of the wind. You just ask Florida. But you can't see the wind itself. So there's that, the tangible and intangible kind of dance that happens anytime you're talking about energy and how things are moving within a space. I grew up on a pig farm in Kansas. It's not like I really had a lot of exposure to this growing up. But I did have kind of an idea of how energy worked because my dad used to be a water witcher. So whenever our neighbors, if their wells were running dry or if the irrigation pumps stopped working, he would bring out his little copper L rods and just drive around until he felt a little tiny tug. And then he'd stop, get the second one out and start walking until he found the water vein. And he was actually able to tell how deep to dig. So it was really quite amazing. Unfortunately, never really got to learn exactly how he did that. But I still have this very, very visceral memory of being 5 years old and having hung out with him. And he helped me. He gave me the rods. And so just try to show me how. And I do remember feeling that almost electric charge that went through my body when those rods crossed and I felt where that was. It was a lot as a five-year-old because I didn't understand what was going on. And so I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with this. And so I started swinging him and never got a chance to hold him again because that was not what
you're supposed to do.
That's not what you're supposed to do. But as far as feng shui goes, I kind of got started in that after, I guess it was in 2003. I had a breast cancer diagnosis the prior year. You know, I was only 36, not exactly, I had two little kids at home, not exactly expected, but one of my neighbors gave me a book on feng shui. And I just followed a couple of little suggestions in there. And suddenly all of these fabulous coincidences began to happen. And I thought, if I can do this, if this is what happens with not having a clue and just sort of kind of following along, what if I really knew how to make this all work? And that's what started the ball rolling. So yeah, in 2004, I began taking my first class, I actually now studied with seven different teachers and, just because, but I, and I, anyway, so, I, so yeah, so feng shui, that's kind of the story there about the energy piece, but feng shui basically is giving vocabulary and a map to use to help put into words what a lot of people who are very sensitive just naturally feel. You take, for feng shui, you take a space and you divide it into nine equal sections. And each section corresponds with a different aspect of our lives, whether it's career and life path, skills and knowledge, family and ancestors, money, like wealth and abundance, fame and reputation, love and relationships, children and creativity, helpful people and travel. And of course, at the center of it all is health. How that Bagua map, that's what it's called, is a Bagua map, how that is oriented to the front door depends on which school of thought the practitioner is using. So when I first began with my feng shui journey, the book that was given to me, it was called Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. It's a great little book to kind of get started, but it is the Western version. I practiced that for almost 17 years. And then I noticed that after that amount of time that some clients were not having as good of success as others. And it was because of the direction their house was facing. And so I had to go back and retrain myself for the in the classical tradition, where you now have this big low pan compass and everything, it goes on the direction of the house is facing, and it gets a lot more mathematical. But it's been night and day with the precision. It's basically the difference between going to a garage sale and getting lucky if you find a jacket that fits you, or going to a tailor and having one custom made for your body.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get lucky and sometimes the sleeves are still too short. So.
Oh, I love this. And so I am so curious about your own journey when you started doing this feng shui in your own home. And I'm curious, did you notice your health changing? You said that you had been diagnosed with cancer.
You know, for me, it really was a lot about how do I help myself heal from all of these different treatments. I mean, I am a big advocate of using the kitchen sink when there is an issue, meaning throw everything at it as much as you can. You know, you'll just throw the kitchen sink at it. So when I was diagnosed, I did 8 rounds of chemo. I had a couple of rounds of surgery to get clean margins. I had 33 radiation treatments. You know, I had my bald phase. So I do know that I have a really nice skull, not exactly something that everybody is lucky enough to have, but you know, I'm still not ready to rock that look, not, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
But what happened with the using feng shui is, unbeknownst to me, I'd actually enhanced the helpful people and travel sector. I had more people coming to give me advice and to bring other professionals to me and other like dietary changes. Everything just became very easy for me to find ways to really enhance my health post-treatment. It's been over 20 years. I'm totally fine. I think all in all, it's done a good job. It's done what it's supposed to do for me. The other cool thing about that same thing is the reason why I was really kind of interested in learning more about feng shui was truthfully, I wanted to help my husband get a raise because I'd been staying at home with the kids. And I, as luck would have it, is I was just getting ready to send my daughter off to kindergarten and start sending resumes out and going to work. And that's when I got the diagnosis. It's like, well, I guess I'm going to a different kind of work. But he ended up getting a lateral move at his existing job after being contacted out of the blue by a couple of his former colleagues with different job opportunities. And anyway, the job satisfaction was through the roof. He was super happy. Didn't get any more money, but it's led to so many more opportunities than if, that wouldn't have happened. So anyway, long story short, the health piece, when your nervous system is not super activated, and the vagal nerve is calm, your body can recover from a lot of things. And having a house that is in balance, that is doesn't have a lot of energetic speed bumps, if you will, well, that just automatically raises up your immune system because you're able to heal better because your body is calm. It has the space to handle whatever's going on. And I think that's been probably the best piece of all of this feng shui work that I've done on my own self and on my own properties. But it also helps all of my clients too. So again, it's kind of selfish because everything I've done is to help me, but then I get to go out and help others with it too.
I don't think that's selfish at all. I think that's how it works for us. You know, as we learn the things that really help us to heal, then it's like we are able to give those as gifts and to start really helping other people to find that same type of healing or energy raise or whatever that is, more vitality, more opportunities, whatever that is in their life. So really, I think it's a beautiful gift. You didn't just keep it for yourself. Yeah. And you went and you did further studies. So, and when people hear about feng shui studies, they might not understand, like you went to different countries.
Yes. So I've traveled to, the majority of the trainings that I've received have been here in America. I've traveled to Utah, Indiana, Boston, here in Texas. But I also went to Malaysia in 2019 before the world shut down. And I studied with a teacher that I've been really following pretty strongly since then. His name is Joey Yap. And so I was there for almost 2 weeks because it was a 4-day conference, 4-day class all day. And I went out a little early so that the jet lag could get over with so that I could actually stay focused because I knew I'd be falling asleep in the middle of this class. But that was the best thing I ever did for myself in regards to this career, because how he phrases things and frames things, it's very different than a lot of other teachers that I had looked into studying with. One of the things that with classical feng shui, because it is dependent on directions, and it also takes into account the Chinese astrology, your Chinese birth chart. It's there's a whole different level of that. Your house essentially ends up with two directions. You're either in the west group or the east group based upon your life path number. And in the past, the way it was explained was, well, these are your auspicious numbers, your lucky directions, and these are your unlucky directions. And it's like, I am not going to be spending any time studying something that tells me that half of my house is unlucky for me. And Joey was the first person who basically said, no, think about it, you know, with your hands. You know, you have a dominant hand and you have a non-dominant hand. You have a hand that you can write your name with, and you have a hand that is there to help you hold things. It doesn't mean that the hand that doesn't write your name well is unlucky or inauspicious. It's just, it's not the dominant one. And he further went on to say that the dominant energies or the dominant directions are simply the ones that work the best for how you present yourself out in the world. Whereas the non-dominant directions, the yin directions, are more those that you use to help clear yourself, to help strengthen yourself on an internal way, which was like, And when I heard him describe that, it's like, yep, that's the teacher for me. And that's why I made the investment to go to Malaysia. Now, during all the lockdowns, because he couldn't have classes in person, everything was online. And I totally geeked out for the entire lockdown. It was awesome.
I love that. So this has been, you know, it sounds like he was such an inspiration to you.
Very much so.
And then what's the type of clientele that you attract? What is like the typical client that comes to you? What are they searching for? What's going on in their lives? Or is it more than just help me? This is not just about help me interior design my home.
Correct. Yeah. Usually there are three main reasons why a client will seek me out. Number one, health. Because again, when the health isn't working, as we've all found out, that when you're not healthy, nothing works. Because health really is the pillar, the main pillar that keeps us all going. But the second one is relationships. Most of the time, I will get people having me come in when they are in the process of joining two households, or in the process of separating two households, or you know, trying to integrate into a new space on their own. The third, relationships also deal with kids, children. I've had clients call me in when their kids are becoming teenagers and trying to deal with that splitting apart, because that happens. Having raised two teenagers, it is not an easy time for anyone, because you've been the pillar that they have wrapped themselves around. And now in order to go out and to become their own pillar, they have to untangle themselves. And sometimes it is done far less gracefully than it could be untangled. Yes. That's part of that too. The third reason is money. I mean, just pure and simple. People are they're struggling with finances, or if they've noticed that the money is coming in, but it's exiting almost as fast as it comes in. That is, you know, I can come in and locate where those money drains are. Sometimes it's just as simple as let's check the plumbing. What's going on? Do you happen to have a slow water leak? You know, are your toilets running? Are they, you know, does the flapper valve need to be replaced? Cause you're losing water, because water and money and health, though, they are all just linked. And when there's some kind of a water leak like that, that's like the easiest thing for people to just take away and go, oh yeah, let me go check. You're right. I've had a drippy faucet. I keep meaning to get that sealed up. And so usually what happens is that I give them the little knock on the side of the head. It's like, yeah, you really need to do that now. And depending upon what part of that Bagua map it's in, that will determine what aspect of your life is being the most impacted. Yes. So just give you a quick little example. In my home now, our guest bathroom is in our wealth and abundance sector. We had a little bit of a drippy faucet. And for whatever reason, it seemed like we were losing, you know, it's like all these little things, other things kept breaking. As soon as we fixed that faucet, it seemed like everything else stopped needing more financial attention than it had in the past. So that was really nice.
Isn't that great? I love that. Just the synchronicity of that is so awesome.
That's why I call myself a synchronicity creator. It's a coincidence creator, because that happens all the time. It is a very common occurrence when people work with me.
Yes. Well, and so it's interesting. So people come to you, relationships, money, health, and then you go over to their home. Is that part of the consultation, or can you do it online?
Yes, I can do both. Obviously, if somebody is not local to the Austin area, or in like the Dallas-Fort Worth area, because I do drive there on a semi-regular basis. It's changed a bit since the pandemic, but yeah, I've actually done a lot of consultations remotely. What I have to rely on there is an accurate compass reading from my client. There is a compass on an iPhone, on most smartphones. They do have some type of a compass app. Those have sometimes up to a 7 or 8 degree variance, and that can make an amazingly huge difference in how I work. So I really do prefer camping compasses if possible, because those are much more accurate. Of course, I'm happy to travel. I love flying places. By having that information and having a floor plan that's drawn out to scale, I can't stress enough that if it needs to be, to scale, it is helpful to know where the interior walls are. And, not everybody has that. And so sometimes that becomes a little bit of a stumbling block, but there's online graph paper. There are ways that, you can do this. And, so if I get that, the compass reading, the floor plan, and then the birth dates, at least the month, day, and year, if I can get the hour of birth, that helps even more. But then that gives me a lot of the information that I need in order to be able to have these conversations. And then we just do a Zoom call, and it lasts a couple of hours. And and if I am in person, I will do some space clearing at the same time.
I was going to ask you about that. What do you do with that? What's space clearing for you?
When I first was introduced to the concept of space clearing, it was pretty much limited to a singing bowl and burning sage. And don't get me wrong, I love both of those techniques. I love my singing bowls. Every now and then I just have to go through, because sound energy is one of those intangible ways that energy moves. I love that. And I also have found that essential oils can get to a part of our brain that does not respond to anything other than smell. And we have so many emotions connected to scent. Sometimes we can remember where they started. I mean, come on, the mantra or the rule of somebody selling a house is bake some cookies so that it smells like home. Well, that's great, but you can't always have cookies baking. Anyway, I use it's a technique that one of my friends shared it with me, and then I also read it in Sacred Spaces by Denise Lynn. And it is where you take a small piece of aluminum foil, you make a little bowl, put a tablespoon or so of Epsom salts inside of it, put a little bit of 91% rubbing alcohol in there just to moisten it. And then I enhance that further by muscle testing to see what essential oils are needed to clear the emotions out of the space. Because besides having just lovely smells and other ways to heal with essential oils, those have emotions that are represented, or that they are evoked by these oils. And so I'll just add a drop or two of the essential oils into that mix, you know, the Epsom salts and alcohol mix. And then I light it on fire.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I have a girlfriend who does this. Yeah. And lights it on fire. She actually did that clearing for this house that I'm in right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that's worked great. I only have had one time when things got a little crazy. Well, it's actually twice. Well, one time I set off a smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. Because that was during COVID, and I could not access my 91% alcohol. That burns super clean, and so I was having to make do with that 80% hand sanitizer that a lot of the distilleries were putting out, and there was just enough impurities in it that it was teeny tiny bit smoky, but it was just enough to make that go off. But that's the only time. Otherwise it's been a fun time. But yeah, that makes such a huge difference. But that actually then comes, you know, that when that is burning, I use that as a time to do some of that intuitive coaching. Because as the client is smelling this, they are able to open up and feel these different emotions that are, I mean, they're up because, again, it's connecting to that part of the brain that doesn't necessarily know how to put into words. And so I guide them through the concepts or through whatever is showing up for them and having them use their physical body as the barometer of, okay, so tune in. Where are you feeling a heaviness? Where is there a tightness? Let's imagine that we can pull this out, that you can, you know, let's see, do we need to shine sunlight on this? I use sunlight as a shorthand for unconditional love and healing. Mm. Moonlight is nurturing and compassion. Starlight is healing things on a karmic level or an inherited level. Because again, I've been getting into this whole epigenetics concept.
Yeah.
So you're good. Like, yes.
Well, yeah. I had Bruce Lipton on the show and we talked about epigenetics. So I get very excited that we can actually reverse some of the things that we thought we were just genetically predisposed to.
Right. Because again, so much of the biology, I mean, again, that whole biology becomes belief. When you start to, I always like to say, when you suspend disbelief, so much can happen. So much magical and miraculous stuff can happen. When I suspend belief that my knowledge isn't valued, or that the only way to be valuable is to be busy. Mm. and when you look back at, well, where did those come from? You start to see, it's like, oh my gosh, I've got all of these different lenses that are built in to how I'm viewing the world. And I just look at it as, you know, Windex for the soul. Let's just clear off those filters or remove them completely so there can be a more clear perspective on things. And you begin to unhook yourself from patterns that probably worked really well to keep us all safe back in the day. We're not back in the day anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, how many typewriter ribbons do we really need? We have word processors. Mm-hmm. And if we're operating on the principle that we have to make sure that we keep a stockpile of, you know, the proverbial typewriter ribbon when it's obsolete, we can free ourselves of that and stop making ourselves wrong for so many things.
Yes. So it's, you know, and the thing that I think is really important to point out too, Beverly, is that this stuff, you know, working with energies and the subtle energies that it's now, I mean, it's once, you know, people may 20 years ago may have gone like, this is pretty woo woo. And I feel like, you know, in the last 20 years, especially last 10 years, it's like, no, this is quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Like we can understand everything is made up of energy and particles. So of course that's going to be influenced by our emotions, by what's happening in the world, by around, you know, the electronics in our home, whatever that is. that can influence those things. And so the importance of really having this kind of flowing and good energy in your home becomes really imperative for our utmost well-being.
Absolutely. I mean, goodness gracious, they just gave a Nobel Prize out for quantum entanglement, where if you are impacting some, you know, an item over here, that over here, it impacts it over there. I don't know a better way of even explaining that than just what we're seeing on the internet. You know, one thing happens over here, something, you know, it eventually gets sent out through the rest of the ethers, and something is going on over there. I mean, that's the butterfly effect.
Right.
And I have a very strong personal belief that if we as an individual take care of ourselves and our spaces, we impact directly the people that, you know, we know that we're touching, but we don't know about the people that, you know, are in our own sphere. We don't know about how much that is impacting them and how they're reacting to the people that they know. And that's where that spread, that osmosis effect, if you will, really makes a difference. And so anytime I have that impact on a client, or can especially working with businesses, oh my God, I love working with businesses, especially those, the owners that know how to expand that into the rest of their companies, because I've got a couple of hair salons that I'm working with here in Austin, and every stylist touches so many people. And if they can have that positive impact for that person, I mean, the ripple effect is just magnified, and it makes my heart so happy when that happens. It's like, oh, that's when
amen. I mean, I'm like over here just glowing because you are speaking my language. And
yes.
You know, this is such a theme of what I do as well, that, you know, your healing matters. My audience hears that from me all the time. And it truly is about how that each one of us is that pebble in the pond. Mm-hmm. That it's through those concentric circles of healing that as we heal ourselves and we do the things that we can do to clear out this conduit so more love and joy and healing and vibrancy can come through, it's going to affect. So, I mean, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, potentially thousands and thousands and thousands of people just by us saying, okay, yep, I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm going to help whatever I can heal inside of me.
Sometimes it is so difficult to say yes to yourself, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another example of the power of feng shui. I had this has been almost a decade ago. I had a client call me in kind of as a last ditch effort, because I'm used to that. People call me in at the last ditch, you know, but that's okay. In the past, more, less so now. She was called me in though to help because she was ready to sign her divorce papers, or ready to file. They hadn't actually put that together, but she's like, I just don't know what else to do. Can you please, is there anything you can help me with? Sometimes, you know, most of the time when I walk into a place like that, it's because there's a lot of clutter and a lot of mess. This place was immaculate. It was so clean. There was nothing out of place. But I began looking around going, I see a lot of your husband's influence here. I see a lot of his pictures, his, you know, artwork that you say that he chose. The only thing I see in this entire space are these two throw pillows in this room that you never use. Talk to me about how else you've disappeared in this relationship.
Wow.
Oh my God. She just bawled. She just lost it. And I encouraged her to take this this realization, talk to her husband about it. And if she still felt like she needed to exit the relationship, then of course, then, you know, you do what you have to do. I didn't hear from her for about 4 months until I finally sent her another email, just like, just checking in. they were getting ready to leave on their second honeymoon.
Oh my gosh.
She realized that because of that, she had taken on this, because that's not how she was when they were dating. And he was unhappy because she wasn't showing up the way that she had when they were first courting. And when she realized that she'd had she had this belief system that in order to make a marriage work, you had to do everything that the husband wanted. And she hadn't realized that she had internalized that belief so strongly. And, you know, it was just such an aha moment for both of them. And that's one of my favorite stories. I have so many though, but that was a really big one. And I think, that's what I call myself a house therapist, because you're the house or translator rather, not therapist. But I'm a translator because your home is constantly talking to you. It's just, do you speak the language? I do.
Yeah. I mean, we there's horse whisperers, dog whisperers, and you're like a house whisperer, you know? You come in and you give it a reading, you know, it's like you can really plug in and see like,
right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the other thing with feng shui is a lot of times people, they assume that it's all about the clutter. You know, and I mentioned that in this example, there was no clutter. So that wasn't the problem. I don't even say that piles are necessarily a problem. It's the stagnation of the energy. Mm-hmm. If you think about how a river moves, you know, you want it to be a gently meandering stream. That's when there's going to be the most life there for the fish and other creatures that live in it. But when it gets stagnant, it's like you get this buildup. This is where the clutter is a bad thing. You get this buildup, and that's when you get all the nasty, gross stuff that's, you know, sometimes we all know it is. The algae and ugh. Mm-hmm. So, but piles are really only a problem when they get to that stagnation point. And usually it's because there's something on the bottom of it, on the bottom of that pile, that is carrying a bit of an emotional charge for you. And you have forgotten about what is going on, because intuitively your body's like, I don't want that next to me. So you just keep putting things on top. And next thing you know, you've got a stack that's this big that's collected dust on top, because you've stopped seeing it, number one, but you also have not been ready yet to deal with whatever that underlying emotion is. My suggestion for people when that happens is, if you don't feel like you can handle the whole thing, just take the top half, flip it upside down, and just start filing whatever's there. Or take the whole thing, flip it upside down, and just, you know, pull the Band-Aid off. You'll see immediately what is the emotion stuck underneath. And when you deal with that, because by the time you actually do get to it, you realize, oh, wait, that's really not a big, scary beast trying to eat me. It's just a bank notice that I didn't think I was going to get, or, you know, whatever. Just deal with that, or whatever that is. And then the pile will just, it's like, oh, well, that was easy. And you start to wonder, like, why did I push this off so long?
And I think we're all guilty of that, though. And then sometimes we don't even remember. It goes like into our subconscious mind. We don't even realize why this pile is even here in the first place. So that's such a great, great tool of discovery or rediscovery. And then to just get it done and move that energy.
And honestly, sometimes the piles just happen because you literally don't have time. Again, I go back to 2019 when I was traveling a lot. It was a glorious travel year. Oh, it was so good. I just found, though, that I was so tired when I came home. The last thing I wanted to do was just some of the basic maintenance things. And so I did have some clutter that really, really got kind of crazy. And when I, you know, it was one of those days, it's like, oh, I guess today's the day where it's time for me to, you know, taste my own medicine and declutter. And it felt great.
Well, and you know, let me ask you this too, on a personal note, because I'm curious. I have always been women, and as a little girl, I loved rearranging my room. And I loved, after a certain amount of time, I'd hang different pictures, different places. And still to this day, it almost seems like it's, you know, every 6 months, or sometimes it's in 3 months, I'll want to put a different picture somewhere else, like depending on the season. Mm-hmm. Is that part of that moving that energy around?
Absolutely.
What is that connected to?
Well, it's connected to you needing to freshen up the energy in the space. It is your attempt at relieving that feeling of stagnation in your space. It is in my mind, anytime you're wanting to move things around like that, it's because you're starting to feel a level of stuckness somewhere else in your world. And so by shifting the artwork around, by rearranging the furniture, what it does is gives your brain a new perspective, a fresh perspective, yeah. And it can start to see more possibilities again. Because I guarantee you, when you do that, you probably end up with this big, huge burst of creativity and an expansion as soon as you finish doing it. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I absolutely feel amazing. It is. For me, it's just like it brings me a lot of joy, and then I feel lifted up. And I do think from that state of being does come creativity, does come other manifestation. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because, I'll telling on my husband a little bit here. I'll do some things like that. And he's like, why? Why are you doing this? I liked it the way it was before. And of course, he always likes it when I finish doing it. But yeah. It's because, you know, we've been married now 31 years. So now he understands that this is what I have to do. This, that I am more in tune and more sensitive. And I can perceive those slight little tiny shifts so much more than he can. And now, you know, it's just a matter of respecting. It's like, oh, okay. Like, he knows if I don't have my compass, I will not be able to tell north, south, east, west. He is like, just has this direction sense that I just admire so much. And so I defer to him for that. He defers to this other stuff for me.
Well, it just sounds so awesome. I absolutely love what you do. You've got such amazing energy. How can people,
thanks,
Beverly, we're needing to wrap up. How can people get a hold of you?
My website is the best way to find me. It's www.theintuitiveinterior.com. So just T-H-E and then the word intuitive and then the word interior, singular, .com.
Yeah, the intuitive interior. I love it. Such a joy to have you on the show. Beverly, as you're leaving today, what is the essential message that you want to leave with the audience?
That everything truly is connected, and that everything that shows up in your external environment starts first with what's going on inside. Your thoughts are the ones, your thoughts, your belief systems, the societal programming, those are all different lenses. And that's what you're projecting through when you select the furniture in your space, the colors on your walls, the people that you're even surrounding yourself with. It really is starting first as an inside job.
Beautiful. So true. Well, thank you so much, Beverly, for sharing your experience and your wisdom. And I can't wait to talk to you more about this. I just know that you bring so much light to the world and your ripple effect is huge.
Thank you. As you as well. I'm so glad that we've gotten connected.
Me too. Okay. Thank you so much for being here with us on The Spark. Make sure and subscribe so you get every single issue just like this one.